and welcome to 10 out of 10 Movie Watch Again with Lauren and Russ.
Hello.
This week we have another viewer request. We're doing The Room, not to be confused with the really depressing Room. We're talking about the classic, I say classic, the Tommy Wiseau, The Room. Now, we weren't sure about this one because this really is the definition of like worst would watch again, but we were like, why not? Let's go for it. It is possibly the most bizarre, terrible movie I've ever seen, and like the stories around it are even more bizarre. Do you want to hit us with your part about it?
Aye. So it started with, released in June of 2003. written by Tommy Wiseau, directed by Tommy Wiseau, produced by Tommy Wiseau, and starring Greg Sestero. Also Tommy Wiseau. A reported budget of $6 million, but I think we'll get into that.
Yeah.
And a reported box office of $5 million, but we can get into
that too.
Yeah. Aye.
I'm scared to ask. I don't know if asking why you like this movie is the right question, but do you have anything positive to say about this movie?
It's such a weird movie.
Yeah.
Like, It's not a good movie by any stretch.
Nope.
But there's something about it. It's just like, you have to watch it.
Yeah, you can't
take your eyes off how bad it is. But it's got this weird, not a charm, but it's more like a, like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, how did this come about? Like, it's unique in that way that with most bad movies is it's unwatchable, but this is strangely watchable.
No, 100%, 100%. I was thinking, like, when we were younger, this was like a party movie, if you know what I mean. Like, if we were going out or needed a drinking game, if we were at a party, The Room would always go on because it was like an easy drinking game. Like, and so when we were younger, I just remember like we watched it under the influence a lot, and we knew it was bad, but it was funny because you're with a group of people, you're all watching it for the excuse of being like, right, how many times does Tommy Wiseau do this? How many times is it going to... So it's actually quite jarring watching it older and sober and just the two of us, do you know what I mean? But I'm totally with you. Like, do you know the way, like, there were so many times when I would put my phone down and be like, what the fuck is going on? And then we were both like, we're trying to find logic in a movie where there is none, do you know what I mean? Like, just sit back and watch the car crash happen, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously more known now for that type of film, like it's a, what's it called, a midnight movie?
Yeah.
Where you just get to go, like, go to the cinema and a theatre
and have a riot.
Aye. Like, it's not a movie with 20 seasons. That's where it's found its success.
No, totally. I'm going to get into that in a bit later on because you've got a story about that.
Aye.
But, like, totally, it's one of those movies that, like, is awful but is found its real niche audience. Like, people really look forward to these, like, midnight viewings where they can, like, throw spoons and throw footballs and all this kind of stuff about. So in that way, it kind of has become really successful.
Oh, it's a massive success compared to what
it was
for the quality of this film. Like, this is a huge success.
And then as well, I think when the Disaster Artist came out, the like James Franco, Seth Rogen telling of the behind the scenes stuff, I feel like that people that didn't know about this movie watched this movie to be like, shut the fuck up, that's not real.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, a lot of people like love this movie for what it is.
Yeah.
And I mean, he says that he meant to make it like that, but he was taking this as serious as he could.
Yep.
Like, this was meant to be his big movie.
Yeah.
This was going to make him, and I don't know if it probably annoys him to this day that it's not for the reasons he thought it was going to be, but I mean, he's got to have made money on it now, so, I mean, who's laughing, really?
No, totally. See, for now, normally we kind of hit out with, like, general overview of the movie before we get cracking. I didn't know what to put because I was like, this movie's plot is all over
There's
the shop.
There's no plot. It's,
well,
it's just everywhere.
Totally. So I'll leave it to the wise words of Tommy Wiseau. According to Tommy Wiseau, the general overview of this movie should be that it is an epic drama of love, loss, and friendship.
Fuck off.
Now, take from that what you will. This is going to be... We were saying this when we were kind of compiling the notes. Like, normally we have like loads of thoughts and opinions, and then the A's are pretty separate. I think in this one, to be honest, like this podcast is going to mostly be A, like rather, because there's just, but we'll dive into what thoughts and opinions we have. So obviously we touched upon that this movie's became like a midnight movie. People go for like the theme of it. It's gained this huge cult following. So you've actually been to one of these viewings, Ross. You went, was it Edinburgh you went through?
Yeah,
this was
Edinburgh
years ago.
Aye, with a few pals. I think it was Valentine's Day as well.
It was, because because you were like, oh, we can't celebrate this year. And I was like, why? And I was about to get pure annoyed. And then you were like, no, you don't understand.
Yeah.
Told me what you were going to do. And I was like, crack on, good man, bring me back a taste.
I like Tommy and Greg was there.
Amazing.
And it was quite funny because they said, oh, this is our movie. Everybody obviously knew. Mm-hmm. Then they just fucked off.
Amazing.
Then at the end of it, they came back and they're like, oh, get stuff signed. So, like, you went with stuff. I said, no, you have to buy our stuff. And I was like, you fly bastards.
Please tell the internet what you have signed by Tommy.
Yeah,
Wiseau.
I've got a signed pair of underwear. I don't really know.
No. Before we move on, these things are bright yellow. They say Wiseau along the waistband.
Oh, he's no fucked about. Like, that's where he makes his money.
And these things are pride of place at the back of your drawer.
Oh, fuck. Every time I look at him, I say, ah, I remember that. That was a good day.
But was it like, was it good going to see, like, did they do all the, like, spoon throwing, football throwing, all that kind of stuff? Or was
not the football one, but it was a lot of spoons getting flung about.
Okay,
a lot of shouting at the screen.
What is the spoon thing?
Just the photo frames have all got spoons on them. It's just stock photos.
Oh, okay.
It's like when you buy a photo frame, it has a generic photo in it. Just that. Like, in the movie, it's all spoons.
Amazing.
I don't know why. They've just obviously not got photos.
Yeah.
They've just bought these with, I fuck it, that
I think they don't need, like, they don't need licensing for. They can just be like, aye, there you go.
They've just bought, it just came with it, probably.
Amazing. But, like, I remember at the time you were like, that was so bizarre, but that was so great. Yeah. You were steaming. I remember you coming back around steaming. I remember as well, this is kind of off the back of your story, but also kind of off the back of saying that when we were younger, this was like a party movie. So, obviously, Tommy Wiseau's drink in the movie is Scotchka. Mm-hmm. A mix of Scotch whiskey and vodka. It's not that deep. And we were at our pal's house and he was having like I don't want to say he was having a like the room night. I feel like we were up at his and he went, let's put on the room.
Yeah.
And we were all drinking Scotchkas. I don't remember that night, but I remember you telling me that you had an absolute nightmare trying to get me back up the road. And he only stayed like four doors down from where I was staying.
It's pretty horrendous one. So I've got in my first thought and opinion of it, and I think this one's pretty obvious. Does the Hoff get pumped in this movie? Like, was it we timed it in the first 25 minutes?
There's
three sex scenes.
Yep.
Like, what the fuck?
But they're all like,
it starts with a sex scene.
And like, was it 4 minutes in, 4 minutes 30 in or something
and
like
at
that?
At what point, like, when you're writing a movie, obviously, this guy's fucking cracked, but it doesn't matter. But we need a sex scene to start this movie with.
So, I actually have something about that in Useless Information. Do you want me to just tell you it now?
Aye.
Right, okay. So, Tommy Wiseau was adamant on the crew film him naked because he said, the movie won't sell unless they see my ass. Direct quote from the Wiseau. And he basically would argue with the camera guys while they were filming the sex scenes. He was like, no, you must zoom in here. You must zoom in here. I need to see full this. And it was like, he would keep the set open. So like, normally like when they're filming sex scenes,
it's closed and stuff.
But he was just like, hi, everybody, come on in. Come see me naked. And like, the lassie who plays Lisa was like, I don't know about this. And Tommy Wiseau was like, no, it's pure fine. And with like, apparently the director was like, in some of these sex scenes we need to have different angles and like do different things, and Tom Wiseau was like, no, it's about me, my ass is on camera. So like the director was
fucking
basically
hell,
like
man.
Right, genuinely he was like, the movie won't sell without it. But the director was like, do you want to try maybe other positions, do you want to, so that not every sex scene's the same.
Yeah.
And Tom Wiseau was like, no, it's not about her, it's all about me. And I was just like, amazing. I was like, there's so many weird stories about Tommy Wiseau, but this being like, my ass single-handedly will sell this movie and fuck the lassie, like, amazing. I've no words.
Not even that. She's naked and like obviously you see her breasts and that in this. So everybody's just there staring at her like her chebs.
Yeah.
Like what?
Well, and his arse. And his arse.
But you wonder why. You wonder who like in the crew now is like, this is the right. Like, this isn't how this works.
Well, there's so many stories of... So, there were so many stories anyway, but then when the disaster artist was made, when that came out, like, 2017 or something...
I can't remember, it must be...
That movie's basically the retelling of the, like, behind the scenes, and there's all the bits in that of, like, the fuck? But, like, do you know at the time I was like, oh, it can't have been that mental, but then see when I was, like, reading up all this stuff or using information, I'm like, the disaster artist seemed pretty spot on, by the way. Yeah. Like, he was a riot, and that, like, he would, like, sit and scream at people all day for different things and stuff. It was absolutely nuts. Absolutely mental.
It's just, I don't understand. Like, for the disaster artist, especially, you hear the story.
Mm-hmm.
How does he convince these people?
Yeah.
To do these things.
Yeah.
Because he's not a charismatic person.
No, he's so creepy.
Yeah, he can barely speak English.
Yeah.
So how... Like, that's one issue I had with the book and the movie, is that Greg Sestero just goes for this. Is it how? Why are you following him out of everybody?
Yeah, it's so bizarre. Yeah. Because
there's
like,
no reason whatsoever that you would listen to him.
And Steven, I mean, you just need to look at Tommy Wiseau to be like, you're a fucking weirdo, don't you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, but then... There's all these stories from Greg Sestero's book, and then obviously later on it's like Tommy Wiseau was like constantly changing stories about where money was coming from, where he was from, what work he'd done previously, blah, 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 blah. And I just kind of feel like you're following a guy who can't make up his mind on what his own backstory is, and you're like, yes, let's go make this fucking shocker.
Where does he move for again? He moves to, is it LA with him?
Yeah.
I can't remember where from for Disaster Arts, but
yeah,
he just goes into it wholeheartedly. There's going to be stuff made up in it. Like, I think with most of these types of books, there always is, but that wouldn't fly. Surely not.
Yeah, and I think as well, like, Tommy Wiseau being, it's like he never tells the same story twice, so you never really know what's true and what's not. Like, I feel like that's not helped Greg Sestero. I mean, the way Greg Sestero's putting it out is in, like, this is fucking weird. This guy's fucking weird. We did this movie. Yeah. It was grim. But, like, Tommy Wiseau isn't helping his own case because you don't know what to believe and what not to believe. So you're like, you are sus as fuck, my man.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Apparently, the lassie, Lisa, this was the only job she could get. She was an up-and-coming actress. And this was the only job she could get. So she was like, fuck it, I'll go full hog for you. And by golly, she did.
she really took a lot of champ.
She really did. Obviously, going off the back of talking about the disaster artist and things, and obviously that then reignited people's interest in The Room.
Yeah.
But they really did their best when they were making the disaster artist of keeping Tommy Wiseau involved but not involved. Like, they would be like, oh, come look at this, right, fuck off, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And there's that really famous clip of when they're going up, because funnily enough, The Room never got any accolades, but The Disaster Artist did.
Yeah, that won a few things.
So they went up for one of the Golden Globes. They went up to say their speech, and like Franco and Rogan and all everyone else, they're too busy like congratulating each other that Tommy Wiseau just makes a fucking beeline for the microphone, starts talking, and James Franco's like, whoa, what are we like? And it's like, they all knew how cracked he was, and they all knew that he thought he was this genius, and he just wasn't getting that everyone was like, not taking the piss out of him, but taking the piss out of him kind of thing.
Yeah, they're laughing at him, not with him.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and other things about, like, going back to the movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we went on quite a tangent there.
She's remarkably calm for a woman that claims she's getting beat.
Just
casually, off the cuff, he's hitting me.
Oh, what we like.
Then when he goes to confront us, they're just sitting there talking.
Like, I did not hit her.
I didn't hit you. And she never says anything.
No, she's like, I bore you.
Like, I don't see... Like, obviously, he wrote this as well, but where does this, like, how can he not see there's no logic in this whatsoever?
Yeah, totally.
Like, and the majority of this is just, obviously, it's all a muddled mess.
Yeah.
But you go for, you start off with the sex scene, then was it the mum with cancer, then he fucking, he's either a fucking junkie or he's a drug dealer.
Yeah, but which is never confirmed or denied.
Then there's promotions at work, it doesn't happen, there's all this shit, like, where, why is it all in this movie?
No, totally.
There's no need for it to be in this movie.
And also, see how you're saying, like, she takes being allegedly beat like a champ, right? They're supposed to be engaged and it's supposed to be like a month before their wedding, right? And all of his pals are like, oh no, I don't know about this, I don't know about this. And his like psychologist pal Peter is like, she's a sociopath, she can't love anyone. And they're all just pure like, oh well. Like, do you know what I mean? I feel like it's a mix of terrible script and terrible acting, do you know what I mean? Like, because even with we've seen many other movies where there's been great actors with terrible scripts. Yeah. And even though the movie's not good, they've worked with what they've got, right?
Oh,
I'm not trying to say in a parallel universe, The Room is actually a good movie. But I feel like if there was people there who knew what they were doing and were actually like passable actors, I don't think this movie would have, but then I suppose that would then mean that this movie wouldn't have that, so bad it's good energy.
There was
nobody
could make this movie good.
Well, I'm trying to find a silver lining.
Like, it's all over the place. There's no plot. There's no coherence in this movie whatsoever. There's no way this would have been successful.
Do you know as well, like, off the back of the script and stuff, see, technically, the dubbing, awful.
Oh,
there's so many bits where Tommy Wiseau is like talking out of sync. Like, I was like that to you, of you, what is going on with this?
Yeah,
like,
no, it's just, that's just how bad it is.
Yeah, because I was like, should we turn it off, start again? Like, what's going on? And then there's also parts where, like, you can see the actors' mouths not moving, but their lines are coming out.
Oh, it's just
like,
bad dubbing,
Yeah, it's terrible. And, like, the soundtrack is so bizarre as well.
Oh,
it's
so out of place.
It's like Channel 5 dramatic intense score, but the only actual songs in it are like Poundland Steel, Poundland Brandy, that one that sounds like Poundland Stevie Wonder. Do you know what I mean? It's like, what the fuck is going on?
Another thing that annoys me, why is he always laughing?
Ha ha
ha. Like, every time he does a line,
what a story, Mark.
Or somebody says something, it's just always a fucking giggle.
Ha ha ha.
Like, is that meant to make you human? Like, what the actual fuck?
I can't say it, Russ. I'm pushing myself after it. Like,
I bet that. It's just, ha ha. Totally, like, what is that? Ha ha.
But I don't know what's worse, the ha ha or the cheep, 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 cheep. Like, what kind of chicken sounds like that?
Yeah,
I think, I wonder if in his head he thought the laughing made him sound like, or made him come across as like endearing and charming and la la la, but it actually just adds to the creepy factor. Do you know what I mean? Like, I wonder if he was like, I don't know if I want to go into the mind of Tommy Wiseau, do you know what I mean? But I wonder if he was like, this is a choice. Like, this is a, look at me, I'm an all-round hee-hee guy. And it's like, no, you're just giving off sex offenders.
It's not even that. By all accounts, he's a human being. Right? I've not heard anything different.
Allegedly so, right? Yeah.
He's been around people. Like, how, what makes you think that, like, that laughing and the way he speaks to people is, oh, this is how people act, is it? No, it's not. You know this. You spoke to people.
It's the bit when he's talking to Mark, and Mark's like, oh yeah, this woman had 12 guys and her man found out about it and almost beat her to death. And he's like, haha, what a story, Mark. Sorry?
Why would you just, like, you wouldn't say that if you're speaking to him normally, so why would you have that in there?
No, absolutely not. Do you know what I love as well, right? Is see, like, throughout this god-awful script, he tries to insert these wee snippets of, like, Hallmark quotes. So he'll be like, if everyone loved each other, the world would be a better place. And love is blind. And friendship makes the world. And, like, do you know what I mean? There's all these, like, random bits. But in between the, like, oh, hi, Mark. And all this, do you know what I mean? It's like, I feel like he's sitting in his gaff being like, this is life-changing. Like, people are going to get a message from this movie. And everyone else is just like, what? Like,
see, this is my last thought and opinion on it. It leads into that, is that in all these movies, like, all bad movies, like, you have, like, him, Tommy Wiseau, Neil Breen, even Steven Seagal, And it's that
hate Steven Seagal and his
They all portray like this holier than thou.
Yeah.
The day everyone to help everybody type of characters. Is it who you try to impress?
Yeah.
There's no reason why you should make these like that.
Yeah.
Like it's always they're the wise people, they'll help anybody, do it for anybody, and is it like we all know it's bullshit.
Yeah. Steven Seagal, it's all like the creepy looking ones. I mean, like Steven Seagal's always like, oh, I need to go fight the mob to save this like school of starving orphans or something.
Yeah, but
then they do
weird shit in these movies as well. Is it like, and I understand you just want to do it to fucking dry hump a naked woman,
because no one else is coming near you unless they're paid.
Like that, and I'm sure Neil Breen, he plays God in one of his fucking weird movies.
Amazing. Is that the other guy with like the really long, the kind of fake martial arts guy? You've watched so many videos on like shit movies. I get them all confused.
No, he's not the martial arts guy. It's a... Oh, fuck. I can't remember what his ones are called, but are that might appear at one point.
God,
like,
please
these are these are god-awful.
Yeah,
bad green screen movies all the way through.
I know what you're talking about.
He's a really old dude. Mm-hmm. But it's just, he always plays this, he comes and he's trying to sort world peace and end world hunger and all that nonsense.
I'm here to clean up this town.
And he's like, fuck off, you're just a sad old man with nothing better to do. It's really infuriating why, I mean, Steven Seagal does it in all his movies. He's like, oh, I can't remember what it's called now. He's just the wee old fat, but just living in a wee village and these guys come and say, oh, I'm going to fight them. I was like, mate, you've not fought anybody in years. Like, you're an old man, Keith. Like, fucking get a rest.
I feel like the only Steven Seagal movies that we like are Under Siege, but then we watched the Under Siege movies a while ago and we were like, these are fucking awful.
They're not good.
Why are we watching these? Do you know what's funny though? Is see off the back of that, sorry, just going into a tangent, a completely other film. See when like Arnold Schwarzenegger does it though, it works. Like, what's that? Like, Walking Tall? No, The Rock as well. Like, Walking, but I'm not The Rock now, The Rock when he started. Was it Walking Tall when he goes back home after being in the army and the casino is like got everyone hooked on drugs and The Rock's like, nay, bother. And then the one, what's the one that Arnold Schwarzenegger's in with Johnny Knoxville? And he's like the sheriff of the town, but they're all coming in and he's at Last Stand or something. Like, there are ways to make these movies work with the right people and with that edge of humour. All the guys who you've just mentioned, Wiseau is the guy, would you say his name was
Neil Breen?
They do it in this kind of weird, sleazy, creepy, you know they would never, do you know what I mean?
They'll try to take it serious.
Yeah.
Like, I believe this is what they actually feel like, what they actually think they are.
Oh, 100%. 100%.
Like, they are the, like, fucking God's gift to movies.
Yeah. Because... trying to railroad this tangent back onto the room, like, Wiseau genuinely thinks he's made a masterpiece, or thought he made a masterpiece, do you know what
it's
I mean?
Only once it came out, he got laughed out the fucking room.
Yeah.
They thought, no, it's a black comedy, it was intended to be.
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, it's like, every movie he's made has been terrible.
Yeah.
It's just that this one seems to have stuck for some reason.
I really can't say I've watched any other Wiseau movie. I've really tried to avoid the guy as much as possible.
Bother. I don't think I've seen any of them. I don't plan to.
You do like a right shite movie, but like, what's the one with Fat Seagal sitting on a chair as he batters people?
Oh,
is that a priest or something, isn't he? And he like
remember,
sits on the chair as he's battering
everyone.
I just
watch all the reviews of him. I'm like, no, I wouldn't watch him.
I'm scared to ask, do you have a favourite scene of The Room?
There's too many. Too many it comes to mind, but just go with the drug dealer one.
Oh, really?
Just comes out of nowhere.
And then it's done in like 10 seconds.
We'll take him to the police station, then they're back in a couple minutes, but that's him dealt with.
My favourite is, I did not hit her. I did not. Oh, hi, Mark.
It's just came out of nowhere, though, that she's saying it to her. Like, that she, like, he was hit by, I was like, how does that, where does the logic come from?
I don't know, right, because she's very, like, she's obviously, like, trying to find ways to get out of this fucking engagement with Tommy Wiseau, which, to be fair, same, but, like,
but she's
going about it all the wrong way, and she's saying it to her mum, and her mum is like, no, you have to stay with him. I don't care if he hits you, like, he's good financial prospects for you, and it's like, the fuck, man, like, what is going on in this movie?
But it's not even that, it's, she seems to think that by saying that she gets to keep his money or something.
I know.
We don't even know what he does. He works in a bank. That's all we know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He could be a fucking bank teller. Got any money?
Mind when Mark asks him, like, he's like, oh, we got a new client in. And Mark's like, tell me. And he's like, I cannot. It's confidential.
Aye, it's pointless. Then, oh, how's your sex life? Is it?
How's your sex life, Mark?
Like, oh, this is how humans speak to each other. It's like, get yourself to fuck.
Yeah. See, if it came out that Tommy Wiseau was, like, an alien who was, like, sent down here to just check up on humanity, would not fucking surprise me.
Do you think that's what the movie was about? That made sense.
I 100%. Do you want me to do useless information now, or do you want to just dive in?
No, go for it then. We'll do it.
Oh, God. Right, okay. So, I'm not fully confident that most of this is going to be true, right? Purely just because Tommy Wiseau makes up different backgrounds about himself, and there's also rumours about where the money came from to fund this movie and all this kind of shenanigans. So, you know, take everything with a pinch of salt, because there's... So he says that he made the money to fund this movie importing and selling leather jackets from South Korea. I don't know why specifically South Korea, but okay.
Probably because they can't check on us. Aye,
go for it. Then later on, he changed the story to that he made his money out of renovating and selling properties, but there's no, like, receipts of him ever doing that. Some also speculated that it came from Russian gangsters, but again, there's about six different stories of how he came about.
That's
the money.
Part of the legend of him.
That's the thing.
No, you don't. Nobody knows a lot about him.
No. Well, he's, I don't know if enigmatic is the right word, because enigmatic evokes a kind of charm. This isn't that. This is just
fucking charmless.
Fucking,
like,
weird. Yeah. He never tells the same story twice. He has denied being European and claims that he's from New Orleans. Now, okay. Like, I feel like you can deny where you come from as much as you want, but the accent is giving away everything. But he's adamant he's from New Orleans, like, absolutely adamant about it.
If I remember something, one of his associates, Hanged, he's Polish.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay, okay. Like, he's from, is it Poznan? I think it is.
Go for it.
I remember reading that somewhere. That I might just be making it up, though.
Yeah, well, apparently, like, on set, if crew members would speak any other language than English, he would, like, fly into a rage and, like, break a joint. Even, like, there's a story from Greg Sestero where he was like, oh, c'est la vie. Tommy was always like, what did you say? And it was, like, going off his nut. Like, even shit like that, do you know what I mean? Like, people saying deja vu, he would go off his nut. He'd be like, what are you saying? So, obviously, if you've seen The Disaster Artist, that's obviously the retelling of the behind the scenes of the movie. But according to The Disaster Artist book, by the end of the movie, the real-life crew, their morale was so low that no one was checking lenses, no one was sorting sound. The crew was just walking through sets and laughing. Like, there's scenes where you can hear, like, giggles that aren't there. That's the guy behind the camera. And, like, by the end, like, for the last scene, the sound guys just sellotaped boom mics and fucked off, right?
Aye.
Which is why, basically, from his party to the very end of the movie, it sounds really bizarre. It's, like, super echoey. And it was basically just that the crew were like, fuck this. Like, we're so done.
They're getting paid. Fuck it.
I know.
I would love to be a movie like that. Just getting paid, knowing it's absolute nonsense.
Yeah. Obviously, I said earlier on about thinking that him being naked would be the selling point in the movie. He also personally paid for this movie to stay in movie theatres so that it would make the cut for Oscar consideration.
Obviously, 2 weeks?
Yeah. So, like, obviously it failed to do that. Ironically, The Disaster Artist got accolades, The Room did not.
Yeah.
But apparently, on the last day of it being in cinemas, the last day of the run, it only sold 10 tickets.
That sounds about right.
So, the original script of The Room was significantly longer, containing long monologues to camera, 12-minute sex scenes, and allegedly, if they'd stuck to the original script, the movie would have been 3.5 hours long. I kind of want to see it. I kind of want to see what The Room would be. Wiseau has claimed that he is currently in talks with having The Room made into a Broadway musical. Again, I'd go see it.
Aye.
Now, this is my favourite one. This is my favourite one. I don't know if it's true. I really hope it is. Apparently, Tommy Wiseau did his own recut of The Room where Johnny is a vampire. So it's basically the same movie, but there's extra added shots of like Tommy Wiseau with fake vampire teeth in and a CGI scene of him flying in the sky just manically laughing. But apparently he did, no, I know.
Fuck's sake.
Apparently he did take that to production and was like, please, can this be a vampire movie? And they were like, fuck off. So he was like, alright. Yeah, apparently they told him it wasn't within like the budget of the production and he was like, bastard. Like, so that's how there's just these random scenes. I would watch the vampire cut. I'd fucking do it.
It would probably make more sense.
Yeah, it would make sense of why he acts, because obviously like he's not human. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you would let it pass. Right, Ross. Do you want to do it?
I will get into the A's. Right. That sounds good. Right, I'll start us off, right? Why does the mom just announce she's got cancer?
Oh my God, then I had that.
Never fail to mention it again.
I had that. Like, she's randomly ranting about our brother trying to steal her house, casually drops in, I got the results back, I have breast cancer. Then immediately starts moaning at Lisa, being like, you can't leave Johnny, aye, I don't care if he hits you. Like, he gives you money.
Lisa's just like, aye, you'll be all right.
Yeah, like, now, we all know this. The script is shocking, but what the fuck is going on? Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, not even one follow-up, do you know what I mean?
Nope.
He has said now in follow-up interviews that he believes that Lisa's mum successfully survived breast cancer. We're like, we barely even knew she fucking had it.
Does the fucking matter, right? Because you don't... It's never mentioned again.
No, I know.
And the other one I've got here is, what the fuck's Danny's problem? Denny's problem, Danny, whatever his name is.
Yeah, oh, I hate this wee, like, creep.
He's a mad creeper. Like, mad voyeur trying to spy on them, having sex, pretty much.
Aye, pure leaps in. Like, they're like, oh, we need a nap, Denny. And then he runs up while they're like, nah, boat.
He's getting everything paid for him.
100%.
He's a mad fucking junkie, drug dealer, whatever.
Whatever, we don't know. It's never confirmed.
There's something all right about that cunt.
No.
He's a fucking wronging.
I know.
Check his hard drives. Nah, he's a fucking gimp.
Somebody phone Kendall and Marty, it's not him, aye. I know. I just also want to know why every sex scene is the creepiest sex scene you have ever seen in your life.
Like shagging the belly button.
Right? Shagging the belly button, the noises he's making, like, those are not sex noises, those are just like, ugh. Like, you know, yeah. Like, no. And, like, the music is so corny, and then the way he's, like, scattering rose petals on her, yeah, as he, like, stares unblinkingly at her, and his eyes, like, what's happening here? Like, what?
No, it's grim.
And I feel like in his head, he was like, yes, this is amazing. And everyone else was like,
ugh. Aye. Don't want an open set for that.
Yeah, fuck off.
Aye. We've already went over Skotchka.
Skotchka.
Apparently, he doesn't drink, yet he drinks that like a champ.
Did he?
There's not an issue with it.
Aye.
Which leads me into my other thing, the pizza order. No, that's a fucking disgrace.
Now, what's the pizza order?
I'm not
again?
A pizza guy, right? Fair enough. I shouldn't have a say in this, but can half and half Canadian bacon and pineapple,
mm-hmm,
and the other half's artichoke and pesto, go light on the cheese.
That sounds fucking awful.
Yeah,
no, I'm a pizza guy, and I would turn my nose up at
but
that.
But who, when he's writing this, he's like,
this is what humans eat.
Like, oh, this is great. Like, I could have had millions of these in this, but I've tried to cut it down to, so we're not sitting here for hours, just like, because the whole movie's a big,
the whole story
behind it is, but, like, as soon as I heard that pizza thing, I was like, nah, that sounds revolting, regardless if you like pizza.
Yeah, hideous, absolutely not. Yeah, no, I'd hit you if that pizza came up.
Another thing, like, I'm on a
you're
roll
on
now.
One now.
See
if you steal any of mine.
Like, Mark changes his mind, very quickly.
Oh, yeah, he is flip-flopping,
Fucking pick a lane.
Yeah, because like at the start he's like, no, we can't, Johnny's my best friend. Then he's like, absolutely, Lisa, let's go. Then at the very end of the movie he's like, you never had me, you're a tramp. What? Like,
but it's not even
and
that.
And between
it's
that he's like, I'll leave him and hurry up, man up, I want you, blah blah blah. What?
But like, it turns on Johnny rapidly.
Very quickly, yeah.
Over a fight at the party which he caused because he's pumping his
Lisa,
pal's fiance.
Aye.
How did...
No, well, listen,
there's no
I know.
Sense.
I absolutely know. And he sits there, see when he's like... This outside, this an A. I'm gonna like in ears. Steven, he's talking to the psychiatrist pal, Peter.
Aye.
And Peter's like, I know you're having an affair with Lisa. Mark just grabs this guy, dangles him off the roof.
What's he gonna do? Kill him?
Grabs him? No, but dangles him off the roof. Then brings him back and goes, sorry, man. Then Peter's like, don't worry about it. What?
Aye. Like, you were gonna fucking murder him.
Your pal has just dangled you over a roof, and you're just gonna sit there and be like, rap us. Do you know what I mean? I'd be like, no, boat like, up.
None of this makes sense.
Absolutely not. I also want to know how there's the weird guy with like the pigeon shit hairdo?
Yeah, yeah.
And he's like, him and his birds go to Lisa and Johnny's to like make out, right? With those weird facial expressions, right? Now, everyone in this movie looks, I mean, I don't think age is ever like, this is Mark. He is 24. Yeah. But like everyone in this movie looks late 20s to early 30s, right? But they just go to Lisa and Johnny's house to like make out, quotation marks, right? Where's your house? Yous look old enough to have a house. Yous are old enough to be turned around to Lisa later on being like, hombre, you're going to be a wreck of friends.
Yeah.
Like, why are you going to somebody else's house to pump your boyfriend? Like, what the fuck? I honestly think this is why Zoe just being like, aye, we can sneak in an extra half sex scene. Hurry up, man.
Just fucking grim.
It's like, so bizarre.
I think everybody was going to get a sex scene in this.
Honestly, I think if they'd been like, one more, he'd have been like, aye, no bother.
Aye.
I want to know. So now the florist scene where she's like, you're my favourite customer. Yeah. And he's like, hi, doggy. I want to know how many times you go to a florist to buy a dozen red roses at 18 quid a pop for her to turn around and be like, you're my favourite customer. Do you know what I mean? Like, is he there daily? Is he funding this woman's florist shop? Apparently she wasn't even an actor. Apparently that was like a real florist shop. And see that, oh, hi, doggy. He didn't know the dog was real. They all thought the dog was a statue because the dog was like old and just sat still. Yeah. And he was like fascinated by this dog and like how this dog, this should have been in useless information. He was so fascinated by this dog and how this dog could sit still all day. He just used to sit in between takes and just stare at the dog. Like, this is allegedly true.
I wouldn't surprise me.
No, right? The dog's 100%.
Doing more acting than him.
100%. 100%. See as well. Sorry. So, the hi Mark, right?
Yeah.
See that whole scene? Baffling, right? This is all that goes down in this 3 minutes, right? So, Johnny walks in raging. I did not hit her. I did not. Throws the water bottle. Oh, hi Mark. Asks Mark how his sex life is. Mark telling him that he's having girl troubles. Mark then says a story about a girl being beaten up, to which Johnny laughs and goes, oh, what a story, Mark. Then Denny pops up. Mark fucks off, then he pops up, confesses his love for Lisa, is like, I just want to kiss her and tell her how I love her. Johnny just laughs and goes, it's okay, she loves you too,
yeah.
We're all people. Then they go for food and see a movie. In 3 minutes.
Like, he tries to make a pass at Lisa a few times.
He really does. Like, no, when...
Oh, you look dead sexy.
Can I kiss you?
I'm just
what laughing. The fuck?
But I'm only joking, is it? You tell me fuck off.
Hombre.
After fucking... Donnie's paying your rent that for you.
Paying his college dressing as well. See as well, the psychologist pal, right, starts off bald and specky, then gets recast by the end of the movie.
I'm
like a full
him.
Head of hair.
Like, he just disappears.
And he's like, yeah, he's like so bizarre. Like, they ask him for like relationship problems, he gives them the answer, and then Johnny's like, I do not want you to play psychologist with me. It's like, what?
Yeah, and you then, just did.
He like they're that's when they're playing football in the suits.
Aye.
And then he trips and they're like, oh, you're so clumsy. It's like, what the fuck?
Never see him again.
No. And he just comes back as like a fully headed hair guy.
That's a fucking mind boggling.
No,
like, it's just such a mess of a film. Yeah, I don't know what makes me keep going back to watch it.
No, 100%.
I genuinely don't know.
100%.
I think it's because it's so bizarre. You're like, what? Like, you try and make sense of it and you can't.
No, there's... that's the thing is, like, you and me would, like, stop taking notes and turn around to each other and be like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah, but, what happened to you?
Yeah, we were trying to find logic in a movie where there is none. But, like, I suppose it is, like, it's so bad that it's... That's why it's got its cult following and stuff. But, like, it's... I genuinely think it's because we're watching it sober. I think we need to go back to watching this movie where I drank in his mobile eye and bother.
Aye.
See as well, now... again, I know I'm trying to find logic in somewhere where there is none, right? But the timeline of this movie is really fucking bizarre, right? So the first bit where she's like, to Greg, I need to see you. And Greg goes, I'll meet you tomorrow at noon. And then it's just noon the next day. Yeah. But then the day that, the day after Skotchka Gate, right? That seems to go on for like half the movie.
Yeah.
And then they're talking about how she's got like a month till the wedding. But then the next minute they're all showing up in tuxedos. But then the wedding's never spoke about. And everyone's like, oh my God, you need to hurry up and tell him you're cheating on him, blah, blah, blah. Like, it's just, I don't know why I'm thinking, but I'm like, what was going on here? Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, why are they all just randomly in fucking suits? Like, Tommy, do you know what? I would love to be like, I'm going to phone Tommy up and find out, but I don't know.
I don't think he knows at this stage.
No,
he'll just make up some bullshit.
100%, 100%.
Right, so instead of best kill, worst kill, we're doing one best line, worst line.
Okay.
So, what is your best one?
Can I do the impression?
You can do what you want.
You're tearing me apart, Lisa! What's yours?
You're my favourite customer, Johnny.
Oh, hey, doggy.
Hey, doggy.
Okay, okay. What's your worst line?
Leave your stupid comments in your pocket.
What?
Leave your stupid comments in your pocket. See when the fully grown hair, feel like all the grown hair psychologist comes in,
uh-huh,
and he says to him, you need to stop doing this with Lisa. That's what he says to him. Don't act tough. Leave your stupid comments in your pocket.
Incredible. Fucking incredible. Disgrace. How has that gone straight over my head? I was like, I honestly looked at you there like you were tripping balls. It's like, sorry. My worst line isn't a line. It's a song. So I think it's, I can't remember if it's sex scene number 2 or 3, but no, the one where it's like, you want my rose, you want my rose. Get that in the fucking bin now. Every time I'm like, nah. Do you have a discount version of?
I don't think you can.
So I had just the guy singing the first sex scene song is discount version of Seal. But I also put, if you want to go off the cast of The Disaster Artist, Dave Franco's discount Greg Sestero. Josh Hutcherson's supposed to be discount Denny, but I don't see it at all.
Nah.
But also, I don't think any of theirs, I mean, obviously, James Franco with all the makeup was a discount version, but I wouldn't count that, do you know what I mean?
Nah, they're far more successful. They're better at playing them
than they
the
were.
Actors,
allegedly the story from Disaster Artist about the Malcolm in the Middle thing, for anyone that doesn't know, Greg Sestero had like the big beard and the long hair, and he was scouted for an episode of Malcolm in the Middle, and he was only going to miss something like 1 or 2 days of filming.
Yeah.
But every day Tommy Wiseau wanted everyone on set at 8 a.m. but Tommy Wiseau wouldn't show up till like noon, right? And he was like no, it's very important that Mark must shave his beard, that is very important to the character. The fuck it was.
Nah.
And like Greg Sestero was like fuming because obviously he missed his big break, shall we say, on Malcolm in the Middle.
This is probably the most successful one with that episode. 100%. So I don't really think that's a bad thing.
Yeah, totally, totally. Do you have a worst guy whose hairline you're seeing?
Let's go over the highlight guy.
Really?
Blonde highlights. Like, I don't know what movie he thought, like, how can you fuck up an already fucked up movie?
I honestly, see by his facial expressions alone, right? See when he's like nipping his bird and all she's doing is kissing like his chest, and the facial expressions, it's given like American Pie. It's given like a sex high school movie when you were younger.
Even
like,
at the party when they're eating the cake, like it does this stupid thing. Do you think you're the comic relief in
this
movie?
Yeah, like what the fuck is going on?
Like, did he tell you that you're the one that's to make people laugh? Because it's not working.
And then he just like randomly tips over onto bins when they're playing football. Aye. And that as well. Yeah, he's fucking awful.
Aye, what's yours?
Right, so mine's is just Denny, right? But I'm gonna tell you everything Denny does in the movie.
Aye,
right?
Go for it.
So inserts himself into their sexy pillow fight. Permo is carrying that fucking football and wants everyone to play football every 5 seconds. The line, I just like to watch you guys, that's enough. Asking Lisa if he can kiss her twice.
Yep.
pops in asking for baking supplies fucking randomly, owes that drug dealer money that is then never addressed or pops up ever again, confesses he is madly in love with the fiancé of the man who is paying for his flat and his college tuition.
He's paying his life, aye?
Fuck off. Yeah, wee weirdo. To be fair, though, he is the only person that's, like, really sad when Tommy's deeds at the end, do you know what I mean? Like, they'd all try to blame each other, do you know what I mean? Lisa's like, this is on you, Mark. Mark's like, you're a fucking drab. And Denny's just at the back like, no! Aye. It's because he knows he's going to pay his rent.
Aye, he's raging.
That's it.
So, I'm out. Do you have a pop?
Okay. I kind of wanted to just say turn the whole movie off, but then that really, that goes back on that this is a 10 out of 10 would watch again, do you know what I mean? I would say I'm out sober, drunk, I watch the whole thing.
See, that's what I've got. It's a difficult one, because you shouldn't watch this movie.
No.
But no. It's such a bizarre experience that if you haven't seen it, at least watch it once.
Uh-huh.
Like, but don't let what we say put you off, because this is... Watching it is a lot better than how it sounds.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, like, we sound like we hate this movie. And, I mean, I'm not going to say we love this movie, but we've had a lot of good times watching this movie.
And
like,
watch it with a few pals.
Yep, and a couple of drinks. Play the room drinking game. Have a laugh. Like,
or if it ever comes back to the cinema to do a thing, go to it because it's funny.
Yeah, you said it was great.
You just get to horror abuse.
Amazing.
And it's good.
Aye, perfect, perfect.
Aye, there's no... It's like, you can't even, like, oh, I won't watch this bit because then, you know... Oh, this is a bit with a weird fucking freaking noises and that, and it's just
totally
it's pointless. Like,
every scene has something. For all the whole movie, you're sitting there like, how many times did I turn around and you had your head in your hands? Do you know what I mean?
Aye.
But like, every scene has one iconic line. Do you know what I mean? Or one iconic bit, and I say iconic loosely, like
this
loosely
is more memorable
shit, like,
than some of your major, like your bigger
movies. 100%.
Your blockbuster, like The Room's more remembered more than that.
Absolutely, absolutely. And like, again, even off the back of like, so this came out in what, 2003? 2017, they made a movie about the making of it and it reignited it. So everybody's gone
and
back and
now
everybody's
doing The Room Returned, where it's like serious actors like remaking this film.
Please fucking don't. Please actually don't. You were saying this earlier on. You said Mike Flanagan's attached to it.
He's in it. Like, he's not...
He's
a psychologist.
Oh, God.
But
God.
Is it Bob Odenkirk?
Yes.
He's...
Yeah, him from Breaking Bad and Nobody.
He plays Johnny.
Oh, my God.
But apparently there's footage of it online.
You're tearing me apart, though.
I'll just be good. Like,
it'll be... That's the thing, though, right? Is, like, for all we're slagging this movie and we can be like, I'm out, I'm never going to not watch anything about it.
Yeah.
Right? Like, any interviews pop up, any mad stupid videos come up, I will consume that content.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
the story behind this movie is, like, far outdoes the movie itself.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And, like, the legend of YZO, do you know what I mean? On, like, all his different, like, tales of his background and all this kind of thing. Like, you watch this and you're like, this guy's cracked. Like, I feel like when you watch The Room now... knowing what everyone knows kind of thing from the book, from the movie, from whatever. Like, you're watching it with all that in the back of your head being like, yep, cool. Like, do you know what I mean?
You can kind of understand it a bit better knowing what he's like.
Yeah.
Which is fair enough.
Because some of the fight scenes, you know, they were proper raging.
Oh,
like, Greg's
just how Paula wanted to go for him.
Oh, 100%. 100%.
Like, definitely wanted to throw a sneaky punch up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I've whip, sorry.
Oh, you know that's going to have happened.
Totally. But, like, that's the thing is, this is a niche movie that, like, if you've got a group of people coming up and there's about 1,000 room drinking games, if that's your bag, like, definitely do it. It's a good laugh, do you know what I mean? Don't watch this movie to be like, oh my God, this is like the worst thing in cinematic ever. Like, of course it is, but it adds
it's,
to
it's
it.
It's not
makes
even,
it,
it's,
like,
it's the best worst movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's not the worst made movie in that.
No,
it just,
no, no.
It's just nonsense. Like, it's the story in that is nonsense in it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, there's, the plot is so thin.
Yeah.
And there's like such random dramatic points, like, which is kind of why I want to see, I would like see the 3.5 hour original bit where I wonder if the mum having breast cancer was like more of a part. I wonder if the drug dealer was more of a part.
I wouldn't have, like, Where would that have went?
No, no, but that's what I'm there's saying. Nothing, like,
they couldn't have taken it anywhere.
He says this is supposed to be this, like, epic drama. But, like, what else was he going to add in? Where was he going to take all these things? Like, it just, it mind boggles to try and even think in the way of Tommy Wiseau. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just, it's fucking mental. I love that we're like, this is shite. And then we're like, watch it. Everyone watch it.
Oh, no, you should. If you've not seen it, just watch it once. It's an hour 40. It's not going to kill you.
Yeah. I love that last week we were like, oh, yeah, we'll do a comedy. This is the closest we're getting, guys. This is
as good as a comedy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, that's what he said. It's a black comedy. It's not, if you want. It's funny to watch.
If you want.
Funny to watch and take your piss out of, so totally. Go for it.
Totally. Well, thank you for listening to this week's episode, guys. Next week we'll come to you. We'll go action next week. We haven't done action for a while.
I will get something sorted for it.
Stunning. Well, as usual, join us over on Instagram at 10 out of 10 would watch again, and we'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
You're tearing me apart, Lisa.